This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a little chilly out.
It's not going to be a pleasant weekend for you, is it?
No, it's not. And they tell me it's going to get worse.
Oh, geez.
They say the first of the week, you know, at night, it's going to be 6 degrees and 10 degrees. And I haven't seen 6 degrees in a long, long time. In fact, I don't even remember when it was 6.
Single digits? Wow.
Single digits. You know, it's crazy.
You know, it's I remember not that long ago we had the conversation about how hot it was and how the heat wouldn't stop. And we said in a joking way, oh, it won't be long before it'll be freezing cold. And now, here we are. Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, it kind of brings back flashbacks to, like, you know, the last couple of years where there's been, like, big storms and there's been power outages and ice and all that. So is that what they're predicting for, like, early next week? Or
Well, they didn't predict any ice, but they're predicting at night 10 degrees one night, 6 degrees the other night.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
That's so, just, that's dangerous.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of dangerous for 3 or 4 days. And then, you know, the history on this, I don't remember it ever being 6 degrees. Maybe something's wrong with me. I missed it somehow.
Yeah, I don't remember that
either. 6 degrees and 10 degrees. It's awful cold.
Yes. I mean, we would remember temperatures that low because we would make a big deal out of it, because not only just because it's 6 degrees, it doesn't happen very often, but it's because of how dangerous it is and effects that it can have on people. What about the llamas? Are they going to be okay? Are they?
We're trying to talk them into going into the barns. You know, they hate to go in the barns, and we've got straw in there for them. They need to go in the barns and stay there overnight.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've got 17 of them, if I can get them all in the barns, they'll keep each other warm inside.
17. I mean, and some of them are new, though, aren't they? They're like.
That's right. We have 3 babies.
Yeah.
So we would certainly like to have them in the barns.
Jeez. Wow.
And I don't think it'd do any good to put some heaters down there because they're so peculiar. They'd probably think it's summer and come out of the barn.
Wow, it's awfully warm. Let's go play.
That's probably what they would think. But, you know, when it's only going to be 27 during the day, it's going to be cold.
Oh, my goodness. 27 for the high. Jeez.
Yes.
You know, when you get a couple of days like that in a row that are below freezing, that can be a little bit brutal.
And they said it's going to be 3 or 4 days before it's back in the 50s and 60s again.
Jeez.
And so, you know, if you have rain and this, it will be unpleasant.
Lord. Yes. Boy, you get.
Now, I remember Amarillo being 6 degrees years ago, but I don't remember Dallas being that cold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like your weather has kind of gotten extreme. In the last couple of years, it seems like.
That's right. And last February was pretty extreme with that storm.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the weather in Texas can change in 10 minutes.
Yes, it can. What do we say if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, something like that?
And it will change.
Yeah.
That's right. But everybody better have their gloves out, you know, their windbreaker around their neck, their scarves. and their heavy coats, and their boots.
Yeah.
Winter boots.
Yeah.
Folks.
Get to the store, get all your groceries, like your bread and your milk, and make sure
they always say do that.
Get your propane tanks full and fill your truck up with gas to make sure that it's full and do all the stuff and then just hunker down.
Right. Hunker down for 2 days and it'll be over.
Jeez. Yeah. And then
it'll
be back up.
See, we bought too much.
You bought too
Everybody
much.
Always goes to the store, buys everything in the world for 3 months, and then it's over in 2 days. Wow.
Yeah, that's true. We do. We go get 3 months worth of supplies for a 48-hour storm.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's going to end very quickly. But, you know, we don't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We just want to be safe. Better be safe than sorry.
That's right. Wow. And they always say milk and bread.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Dr. Pepper. Don't forget the Dr. Pepper.
I don't think that's...
That's real important.
It's not one of the usual things, but I can see why that would be important.
Yes, that could be real important.
They probably don't run a... Because I know you go to the store and it's like, okay, the bread aisle is empty, the milk aisle is empty. I'm sure the Dr. Pepper aisle is full.
That's right. You've got to always be sure you have that.
Oh, wow.
And then lots of hot chocolate, too.
Oh, well, that's nice. If you lose power, though, you can't heat your water. But if you still got power, then it's nice to kind of snuggle up and drink some hot cocoa and just kind of hang out.
Well, we're not going to lose power.
I know it.
And I don't think the fireplace will make hot chocolate. Don't think you can do it with that.
If there's a way, you'll find out.
That's right. I'll discover something new.
Oh, my goodness. Or you could invent something new, and this is where your ingenious comes in. You'll invent something where people can make hot chocolate if the power goes out. Some kind of a...
That's right. I'll have to figure out a way to do that. We need a battery-operated deal. I can see that right now.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what you need, if one doesn't exist already. So, good Lord. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Does the weather affect anything? Because I know sometimes you like if the weather gets bad or they predict bad things, you know, the schools close, you know, sometimes, you know, businesses will close and whatnot, getting ready for it. But with what you do, everything is pretty much online and everything. You don't have to, like, interact with people physically. So I assume it doesn't affect really anything that you do on a daily basis.
No, a lot of outages at the office might affect something. Oh, my gosh. But no, everything should work perfectly. It's not a perfect world. And we're having trouble getting into some of our accounts online in the clouds. But hopefully we'll get that fixed.
Yeah.
And be able to do that. But I've not been able to access a lot of things this week.
Do we need to talk about anything for, like, because I know sometimes at the end of the year we talk about, okay, you've got to do, you know, a few things that you've got to wrap up before December 31st. Is there anything that we need to talk about, like, at the beginning of the year that people should do or put in place or set up or?
Well, everybody should make some decisions on their investments, I think, because they say it's going to be a tough year. So, you know, they might want to take evasive action and say, you know, maybe I should be a little more conservative in my investments. You know, people that are in the stock market have a lot of exposure. You know, I would not want to be exposed like they are right now.
Mm.
Jamie Dimon at Chase says it's going to be a tough year. A lot of the people that are supposed to be very smart are saying, you know, that it could be a bad year. Because they think the real estate market is going to bring everybody down because the big real estate companies, you know, are having a tough time. So we don't know, you know, if they can sell off their inventory, if they can get their loans out of the banks. I don't know what's going to happen on that. But I personally think everybody should take evasive actions. You should be in things that you know that your principal's always safe. You want that principal guaranteed. I don't care what happens. And then you're always, you don't have to lay awake nights worrying about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's people that, you know, even if the stock market is doing well, usually, you know, you wake up the next day and something terrible has happened. And so the ups and downs, I imagine, is probably one of the things that people come over to you when they first come over to you. And they're it's one of those things that they've had enough of. They can't take being, you know, up all night. They can't take being that exposed and literally losing everything. So when people come over and want to do life settlements or even annuities or something, you know, that's a little bit more conservative than the stock market, I assume that's probably one of the things that they talk about first.
That's the first thing they talk about. If they're 65 to 70, they're thinking about, you know, I'm going to be retiring in a few years. I cannot start over. That's the first thing they tell me. I don't want to start over. I don't want to lose my money after 25, 30 years and have to go back to square one. They don't want to do that. And I don't blame them. And their wives are going to divorce them. So, you know, there's supposed to be a better job of managing the family's money. So that's when life settlements come in. You know, your principal's always safe. You know where you're at all times. You know what you're going to make. You know you're invested in a life policy, and it's a big, huge life insurance company. So the speculation is almost non-existent. It's not like being in the market every day and saying, well, that stock dropped 50% today or dropped 25%. There isn't anything you can do about it. But if you're in a life settlement, you know that your principal's always safe. You know how much money you're going to make going in. You know your liabilities going in. You know what can happen. So, you know, it's a lot safer investment because you know what you're going to make. You know what company it's invested in. And you know at the end they always pay 100%. Plus, if they're late paying it, they'll pay interest on the money. So lots of times you get interest on your interest.
Really?
Which helps. Yeah. Because lots of times when we send it in, it takes them a while, and they'll pay interest on that money.
When you say like a while, are we talking like a couple of weeks?
No, a couple of months.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, geez, then that could be a lot of interest that'll add up then.
It is quite a bit.
Wow.
Now, some of them, every company has a different interest rate. We've seen some that are 4 or 5. I've seen one that was only 2%. So every company has a different amount they're going to pay.
So really, then, even if they pay a month or two late, they do pay the extra interest on top of it, which means that it's more profit for people, which means they make more, better return on their investment. Really, it sounds to me like no matter what, it's just a matter of just waiting. It's not if, which I think is a big difference for a lot of people. If versus when, right?
That's right. And in the last 6 months, I've had a lot of people come to me that were either selling their company, getting ready to retire, and they want something really safe once they retire. People who are going to retire, they do not want the ups and downs of the stock market. They want something that they can control. And, you know, if you're in the stock market, you don't control anything. You don't control your money, first of all. Your money's just out there with everybody else's, and you take your chances. But if you've got a life settlement, you know, if it's 24 months, you're going to get paid maybe in 30 months, maybe 12 months. It could be on time. We had a maturity this week. The lady had two $250,000 policies. We did this in January of 23. She's already passed away.
Oh, wow.
So it was a good policy. Everybody made good money. It was supposed to be 22 months. So they had like 24% profit, and they're going to get it in less than 12 months.
Wow. Yeah. That's
so this and the people we're using now are doing a really good job.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, not only has the investment itself hasn't changed at all, like I'm looking like long term, like big picture, like over the last, you know, 10 years, say, the investment itself hasn't changed, but the quality of the data that you're getting, I'm trying to be careful how I say this, the quality of the data that you get in has only gotten better. Am I saying?
That's right. It's okay. Gotten a lot better.
All right. So it's only improved. It's not, you know, it's not like, you know, something weird has happened. And when you have that kind of consistency, you know, over that long, because sometimes, okay, so for example, like this crypto thing that people get all, you know, up in arms about, you know, it's a shiny thing. People get excited about it. Oh, here's something new. Well, over time, you start to see the holes in it and you start to see, you know, the weaknesses and, you know, how can things go wrong with it and things like that. It doesn't seem like that's ever happened with Life Settlements. It's maintained. There has been nothing there are no holes in it. There are no weak parts of it. It's the same. It's maintained its integrity as an investment, and the data that you have has only gotten better.
Yeah, the data has gotten a lot better. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, it wasn't as good as it is now. The policies, they weren't evaluating them as good as we are now. Now they're evaluated really good. They're coming due when they're supposed to, like they should, and people are making more money. And they're making it a little bit quicker than they were, because the ones that we've had in the last 4 months, all of them were early. You realize that?
Jeez. That's cool.
Yeah, we've had four that were early.
Wow. That's impressive.
I was impressed because that's the way we want it.
Yeah.
We want it to be early or on time.
Yeah. And, you know, the teams of doctors and scientists, the data that they have to go off of, it seems like the LEs are getting, not that they were ever inaccurate or that they were ever bad, because they've always been, you know, pretty good. But it just seems like now they're a lot more accurate. And even I would almost say, and this is just a gut feeling, so correct me if I'm wrong, but from the outside looking in, it almost seems like the LEs are a little bit, when they issue the LE, they're a little bit conservative, and that they might be, I don't want to say padding it, but giving it some extra months, knowing that it might come in a little bit earlier than that. Am I nuts?
Yeah, we try. If it's like 12 or 13, we try to go out farther.
Yeah.
Lots of times if it's 20 months, we may go 25, 26. We want to be sure to allow enough time. And then we escrow, you know, the premium, not only for the months they say, but we always go 12 months longer on premium, where that you've got that cushion. And I think that's a good thing, to always have that cushion there.
Yeah. For new investors that haven't ever done a life settlement before, maybe they've used to the way the stock market works, what's the biggest thing that new investors say when they make the switch, come in for, say, the first time ever doing a life settlement? What's the reaction that you get from people after their first policy matures? What do they say?
Then they always put in more money because they can see how it works. They see it paid off. They can see that we were right on the investment. And I've got people that maybe came with $100,000 after the first one. They may put $250,000 in. And I have this happen a lot. We have a lot of people that come with $1 million. And lots of times people are retiring from an oil company. So they've been listening to us for years. So they know how it works. They know how conservative it is. They know that it's only invested in a life insurance policy, so they like that. They like the conservativeness of it, where they know where their money is, they know what they're going to make, they know what the terms are, they know what the risks are going in, so there's not any surprises. That's what they hate about the stock market. They don't like the surprise ending sometimes.
Yeah, it's not always good. You said something that sparked a thought that I had. You talk about the stock market, there may not be a profit. The thing, though, with life settlements is that the reserves that they have on hand, not only does the investment itself maintain its value, they're never going to, like, a policy isn't going to mature, and they're going to say, okay, well, due to the stock market, we're going to pay, you know, 60%. That doesn't happen. It pays 100%, like you said. But they've also got those reserves on hand. So it's not like the money has been lent out. They don't do loans. They're not, you know, they literally have all the reserves for, you know, policies. If they were to, like, all mature in the same day, they could pay them. So they've got those reserves on hand, and so people don't need to worry about that either. That's kind of a big deal.
I think it's a big deal because you know they can pay you. You know they're not making loans to anybody. They don't have any real estate loans on the books, and that makes them a profitable company. There's so many laws on the books regarding life companies. Years ago, they put all these rules in place, what they could invest in, how much cash they had to keep on hand, how much cash equivalents they had to have. You know, years ago, they couldn't even own their own building. And I think they can now. It has to be in a holding company. But years ago, they would not allow a life insurance company to own real estate even. You couldn't even own your own building. I can remember that years ago. But the good thing about them is they have billions and billions. A lot of banks are not that big, you know. And then the bigger banks have taken on a lot of liability. Everybody thought that real estate, commercial real estate, was going to be the wonder of the world the last 4 years. And it's turned out it's not. In Dallas, Texas, it's one company. I didn't even know them. They've been in bankrupt now for several months. They had 20 office buildings.
Wow.
And they're asking the bankruptcy court to let them sell off these buildings. But can you imagine the liability all these companies have right now because these high rises are half empty? And somebody loaned the money on all this.
Yeah.
And then your smaller buildings, they're at risk. They're changing hands. I noticed a builder is coming to Dallas and buying one of our builders for $500 million.
Wow.
And then
really?
I read on it, and they're owned by the Chinese. I mean, the bottom line was they're owned by the Chinese. I go, oh, my gosh. I think you'll see a lot of builders either merging or going out of business because of the competition. The interest rates are really high. When you've got to pay 6% or 7% for a home loan, you know, it's going to put a lot of people out of the market.
Aside from, like, interest rates like you're talking about, is there what kind of a domino effect? Because we've talked about, like, real estate and how there's, you know, these empty, you know, pieces of property, whether they're malls or they're office buildings, or they've started, you know, constructing office buildings and then they can't get them leased. And so now they're trying to maybe change to, like, residential units, or they're trying to kind of adjust to the market. What kind of domino effect does this have, if any, for, like, average people who are not in real estate? Maybe they've already, you know, they own their own home, so they're not looking at, like, getting a new mortgage or anything like that. Does it have any kind of effect on average people?
No, if everybody is not in real estate, it's not going to affect them. It's going to affect the people that go down to the bank and say, I need a new loan. And they're going to say, well, right now we can't make any new loans. You know, you're talking about somebody has a business that they suddenly find themselves a little short on, or maybe they want to expand their business. Right now, going down to the bank and getting the money is hard because they've got all these loans out that they have got to do something about.
Yeah.
You know, they made a lot of loans for people to build these buildings, and now they're half empty. And I don't know which ones are owned by the lenders, but when they will not reduce the rent at all, it's a lender-owned building. You can bet on it.
Oh, geez. And they're just going to sit in there empty.
Yeah, the lender will just sit there. They're hard-nosed. They're hard to deal with. And they just tell the people, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to lower the rents. Well, that's a good way to empty it.
Yeah.
Because there's deals everywhere right now, I assure you. They're giving a lot of free rent. to try to get somebody in these buildings. And, you know, because we're contacted all the time by people saying, look, we can get you a new lease. We can get a lease with several months free rent. We can do all this. And so, you know, they're very aggressive right now.
Yeah. It's a tough marketplace at this point.
It is.
So with life settlements, though, we don't have to deal with any of this, whether, you know.
No, we don't have that problem. Mm-hmm. It's a straightforward deal. We buy life insurance policies on people that need either treatment or they know they're going to pass away and they want to get everything settled. We got a policy in that we're looking at from a Texas lady that has cancer. And she wants to go to Mexico. She doesn't have the money to go to Mexico. So she contacted us to see if we'd buy her policy where she can go for breast cancer treatment in Mexico. Well, you know, that's a 100% done deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when they go to Mexico, they come back and it is aggressively over the top and they never do catch up on that cancer.
Mm.
It's just, you know, you can't tell people. They have to go to Mexico and see for themselves. But, you know, we've done an awful lot of breast cancer policies. And not one of them survived that went to Mexico, I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've seen this.
I mean, you've got to be at big hospitals to do anything about this.
Yeah, that's been one of the things that you've talked about is that the data never changes with that. It just, it always ends up the same because people just end up putting things off, which makes things worse. So.
And the policy that that we just did that... as I said, the lady just died. She was 55, and she had lung cancer. And, you know, they gave her 22 months. She didn't live quite 12. And usually lung cancer is not that fast acting.
Hmm.
But it was on her, 55 years old.
Jeez.
And so it was a good policy for the clients and us both. As I said, we're getting a lot better at this. It's taken years and years, but we're, you know, we're getting better all the time. The last four policies, I said, came in early, and they should. You know, we need to be conservative enough that they will come in early, that they'll make that little bit extra money. But like you were talking about, people that are in other investments have a lot of liability.
Yeah.
They have a lot of risk.
Yeah.
So why, when times are hard, would you risk your hard-earned money?
Exactly. And it seems like with a lot of other investments, you know, whether it's the stock market or real estate or anything in between, it seems like, you know, the things that are those variables are out of their control. There's nothing that they can do to prevent it or reduce the risk. It's just that's part of it. And the variables are pretty pretty substantial. So with a life settlement, though, I mean, it holds its value. There's never going to pay a fraction of what the policy is. They've got reserves on hand. You know the profit that you're going to get ahead of time. You know, it's just really just a matter of when it matures. And in most cases, you know when that's going to happen, too. So it's just a matter of you get into the policy and then you just wait. There's not really a downside or any kind of variable that affects any of those things with a life settlement, right?
And these are A-plus rated life insurance companies, A-plus, all the way through. There's three companies that rate them, and they're A-plus with everybody. That tells you something. They've been in business 100 years.
Jeez.
How many banks have been in business 100 years?
At this point, it's hard to sell.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back and add them up. I wonder how many there are that have been in business. Probably Chase, Bank of America. I don't know which other one that's been in business that long.
Wells Fargo?
And the difference is the liabilities they have versus a life insurance company. It's a big difference who you do business with.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, how many banks have we seen go under? I mean, that was kind of like the thing. Was it last year? 23?
It was a domino effect last year.
Yeah.
And I think there's still more to come.
Really?
Because... if they come in and tell you, now we're talking about smaller banks. We're not talking about the big ones.
Yeah.
The smaller banks, when they walk in and they do the audit and they said, you've got too much liability on your books. we are going to recommend that you have to put up, you know, another $500 million or $50 million or whatever they tell them. They've got to put that much money up in reserves because they don't think they have enough reserves.
That's dangerous.
It is, because how do you go out and raise that much money quickly to cure that?
Jeez. Yeah.
And so they have to merge sometimes with another bank that is stronger.
And
then sometimes you want to merge with the bank and they won't let you. They won't accept them. So, you know, the banks in Texas are probably in better shape than other banks.
Yeah. Let's talk real.
I think it's conservative.
Let's get in real quick to annuities. How are they?
Okay.
Are the bonuses still happening?
Says, I just got something from the company, and it says it's going to be short-lived, that we're not going to have the bonuses but a short time. And they're also going down on their participation rate on the 16th.
Oh.
So it tells you times are going to get a little bit harder, because they're saying the rates are coming down a little bit.
All right.
So, yeah. So on the 16th, they're going to start moving rates.
All right.
So we've had all this time with no movement in the rates, which was great. And I loved it. That's what they're saying.
And even so, annuities are still a great investment anyway. I mean, it was just we've been looking
at a great investment. We've still got that 12% bonus. We're going to have that for a little bit longer. So if everybody wants to invest, now's the time to do it, you know, while we've got this bonus. So the bonus helps a lot, because you can come in, do the 12% bonus, do a fixed rate of 4%.
Hmm.
So you're going to get 16% first year.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And then after we weather this year, I'm sure the rates on everything will come back up. So, you know, we'll be in good shape after 1 year.
Yeah. And annuities.
And annuities are great because, first of all, there's no tax to take it out. How many investments is there that you don't pay any taxes while the investment's in play?
Hmm.
I don't know of any.
Right.
And so then at the end of the year, they lock your interest in every year. It locks in. It's not like stock market where we can go down at the end of the year or middle of the year. When you make the interest, it's yours. They lock it in. It's compound interest during the year. That helps. You can have as many beneficiaries as you want. You can change beneficiaries from time to time. There's not anything anybody can do about it. An annuity stands alone.
And it's separate from your estate, right?
It's really separate because your estate, you might have to wait. Let's say it's a big estate. You're going to have to probate it. This is not going to be part of probate. This is different. This you can get immediately. So if you need cash, the heirs need cash, that's always the annuity they go to. Now, I've got a client that's approaching 90. She's got three annuities with me. One's an IRA, and the other two are just regular annuities. Her family called this week and said, you know, we've got two women per day with Mama, and Mama's at home, and it's $1,500 a week, and we're getting worried. I said, she's got two annuities. She's never taken a dime out. I said, she's got close to $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, I said, she needs to start taking money out. I said, take $100,000 out of one and $50,000 and $50,000 out of the others. I said, that'll give you a big cushion, and you won't have to worry the next coming 2 years. So that's what I recommended. And see, all this money paid off. She had it all this time. It wasn't invested in the stock market. She didn't take any losses. It kept making interest for her. Now when she really needs it, it's there for her. That's
wow.
What an annuity will do.
How long does it take to build up something like that? Is that, are we talking, you know, like 3 years, 5 years,
several years?
Okay.
I think in 10, you should have a good estate.
Nice. Well, that's not bad. I mean, that's...
It's not. And I told you about the one client that at the end of the time, she had as much money as she started with, and she took a withdrawal because it was an IRA every year. it made enough money. At the end of time, she still had her original principal.
Really? So it didn't even dip into the principal?
It never dipped into her principal. She made enough interest to keep it all those years. And she had it about 17 years with me.
Oh, my. Wow, that's fantastic.
And so she took money out every year, and she never got into the principal, and she never did without. She never had an emergency. And if you have an emergency, you can always take money out of your annuity. After the first year, you can start taking 10% a year out. That other bonus, if a person that you can get like 19% first year, and then you've got other special, but there's a 1% premium with that. So next year, if you put more money in, you're doing good. You can get 19% bonus for 3 years.
Jeez.
And then at the end of it, if you take a payout, they'll give you an extra 4% on your withdrawals.
Really?
But it's got that fee, and some people don't want to pay that 1%. But it does have a lot of goodies for 1%.
Yeah.
But I'm conservative, and I usually tell people the 12% is a great one because there is no charge.
And you always...
But a lot of people do what? Go ahead.
How do you say it? You say that an annuity mirrors the stock market, but it's not in the stock market, and there's a safety net, right?
There is a safety net. Because when you're doing annuities, it just mirrors it. It says, okay, let's see, the 500, the Dow, all these, we're just doing participation in them, but we're not directly in the stock market. We're safe over here in an annuity. If the stock market makes money, we'll take it also. If it loses, we just stay set where we were, even keel. You never lose it. Because it's not ever really in the stock market. It just mirrors it. So you have a chance to make quite a bit of money. This is averaged about 10%. We went back and looked at the last 10. Some years it made a lot more. Some years it made less. There was a couple of years it didn't make anything. But it's conservative. It'll always make you enough money to be worth it. You cannot outlive an annuity.
Is it something that people should start maybe in their 40s or more like in their 60s, or does it really not matter when they start?
If I was 60 years old, I would have some annuities, yes.
Okay.
If I was 50 and thought that I need to be conservative, I would do one. Put it with everything else you've got.
All right. And you've also got people that will set up, and I want to make sure I say this the right way, so correct me if I say this wrong, but people can set these up for different beneficiaries and different purposes. So, for example, you've got people that will set up an annuity for their kids for college, for example.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And so you can set them up for yourself.
And their grandchildren, when they're grown, even people will set this up to be sure they're going to have money. Because lots of these grandchildren, they start out, they have a job, but they're not making a lot.
Yeah.
They're 20 years old. They're going to want to get married someday. So you set up $25,000, $50,000 for them to get them started.
Yeah.
And it's conservative enough that it'll work. I have one client that her and her children went together and did an annuity with me.
Hmm.
And they've done very, very well.
Yeah.
And only one of them has had to take money out. One of them wanted to buy a house, so he took part of his money out. The rest of them have stayed with it. They've made quite a bit of money.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get at. I just couldn't get there. I didn't know how to how to say it. So thank you. All right. So either way, whether it's annuities or life settlements, they're both a conservative option. It's not an either or type of thing. You have plenty of investors that will do both. And I would assume that pretty much that would be diversity is always what you stress the most. You know, make sure your portfolio is diversified, and doing a few annuities, doing a few life settlements would be a good way to do that. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
And when you're doing annuities, be diversified in. Don't put it all in one thing. I have a client that came to me this last week. He did an annuity with somebody. They put it all in one thing. I said, let me tell you something. They don't have the experience that you need. I said, you know, somebody with experience would have said, you need 20, 20, 20, 20. You know, not, don't do everything in one thing. It's like anything else in life. You've got to be diversified. And that's why I always recommend when you get older and you're going to start needing this money, you better switch to annuities because it'll give you lifetime income. It's a retirement income annuity. It's for your retirement. It's for you to take money out every year. Especially, let's say a man's wife has never worked. He can set her up an annuity that she can't outlive. The fast boys can't come and take her money.
It's
and put
protected.
Her in something that's inappropriate. It's protected. Right. And I have a lot of people that do that. They know that the fast-talking boys, as soon as you die, they're going to talk that wife and that widow, get in the stock market. Let's take all that money out that you've got conservative that's never lost anything. We'll put it over here in the stock market.
Hmm.
And they're just chingling in your money.
Yeah, and they talk a fast game, too. I mean, it sounds impressive, and it's nice and shiny and pretty, and it's neat, but in the end, usually people don't go. And when you say not just one thing, there's like, what, 14 or 15 annuities?
Yes, there's a lot of choices in an annuity. You've got so many choices, and we can look it up and say, okay, this is what this part did last year. This is what it did the year before. Let's look at it. Let's spend some time at it. And figure it out, do it right, and then every year we can change it. You know, you can change your annuity around every year. Let's say somebody that you put in as a beneficiary, 2 years later you said, you know, that person's not acting right. I don't want them on my annuity. They're not going to be my beneficiary, you know? So then we take them right out.
Wow.
I've got one lady that's got 13 grandchildren. They're all in an annuity. She's leaving all this money, not to her children, but to her 13 grandchildren.
Wow.
They're getting the money.
Yes. Neat.
And I've known her for years. And one of those grandchildren misbehaved. And you know what she did? Took that one out. I mean, you know, you don't misbehave to your grandmother and expect to get any money. Just don't count on it.
That should be a lesson for all of us.
That's right, because some of these grandmothers are pretty tough,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They worked all their life. They made a lot of money. And then these little old grandkids get snippy, and she says, out.
Yeah.
You know? And I loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. Do not mess with Mama.
Yeah. That's right. You don't do that.
Wow.
That's a good lesson for everybody.
It really is. And some of us have to learn that the hard way.
You learn it the hard way. This one lady's daughter asked me the other day, she said, Faye, do you know how Mama's annuities are set up? I said, yes. She said, well, she said, did she go ahead and leave it to all the grandchildren? I said, yes. She said, that means we're not getting anything. Nope, you're not getting anything.
Somebody hadn't been acting right.
That's right. And, you know, if you don't ever go see your grandmother, that's another clue.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't seen her in 3 years. She is not leaving you anything. The ones that go check on her all the time, say, what can I do for you? Let me take you to do this. Let me run some errands for you. That's the ones that they're going to say, you know, that's a darling girl. I think I'll leave her some money, you know?
Yeah. And if you're not in it, it's like you're not in it and you know what you did.
That's right. You know exactly what you did. And I've got another client that's got several children, and he specifically left some of his children out. They were just have misbehaved, and he can't trust them and doesn't trust them. And so he said, all right, boys, y'all are not going to get my money.
That's it. There you go.
And, you know, all these people could turn their lives back around if they just would.
Yeah.
But, you see, they think they can get by with all that. and that, oh, they wouldn't leave me out. Well, they're wrong.
Yeah. Ooh, people have said that all the time. And surprise,
yeah,
they did.
That's right.
Wow.
And one thing about an annuity, you're not going to be able to come back in after the day and say, oh, well, that was mine, I'm going to get it. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, you can't protest it, and you can't throw a fit and have somebody change their mind. It doesn't. It's in. It's whatever is in is locked.
It's set in stone.
Yes.
And when they change the beneficiaries, it's duly noted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, that's good to know, too, for people's own protection, so that they know that, you know, somebody can't come in and just change, you know, something and go against their wishes. So they set it up. And
no, they can't. It's not like a will. They can contest a will. They can sue over a will. But an annuity is a lot different.
Yeah. You cannot mess with an annuity.
Nope.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby.
He's not even going to listen to you. Did you know that?
No, they won't even take your phone call. So
no,
don't even
not.
Try.
You're not a beneficiary, so we're not talking to you.
Yeah, you might as well just walk away. Just accept it for what it is. Jeez.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, we're going to talk about Fort Worth. You know, I love to talk about Fort Worth.
Yeah.
It's such a cow town. It's the start of the West. And it's time for the rodeo and stock show.
Yes.
You know, every January that occurs. And I was just thinking about that and all the things you can do in Fort Worth. And then I said, you know, had we ever talked about the fact that all these kids and their families spend all year getting ready for the stock show? You know, they get up early. They get up before daylight. They take care of their animals. They groom them. They spend the year getting them fat, making them presentable. They come all the way to Fort Worth to show their animals. And, you know, in January, it's always really cold. And, you know, I know they get cold out there taking care of the animals, getting them ready. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing that families still do this, because that's part of the Texas values. You know, kids growing up, taking care of their animals. You know, the city kids don't even know about things like that.
Mm-mm.
They don't know about grooming their animals, you know, feeding them, taking care of them, bringing them to the stock show and showing them. And then the rodeo starts. You know, it's a great time to be a Texan. I don't care who you are. Texas is just different. And then we're going to talk about the Fort Worth stockyards. You know, if you come for the stockyard, for the rodeo and all this, then you've got to go to the stockyards. I wonder how many people know that the stockyards, Fort Worth stockyards, is now on the National Historic District.
Really?
On the National Register.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Historic places. Yes. It's now a historic national treasure.
Wow.
And, of course, between 1866 and 1890, Fort Worth was known as the final stop for cowhands who were driving cattle up the Chisholm Trail from South Texas all the way to Kansas. And it all happened in Fort Worth. They came through Fort Worth all the time. It was a big stopover. Thousands of head, you know, came through Fort Worth. And it says that there were 4 million cattle driven through Fort Worth.
Really?
4 million head.
Wow.
And that's how it got the name of Cowtown.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, that's how it got the name of Cowtown. Eventually, investors realized that they could do meat packing here instead of them going to Kansas City. I don't know how long it took them to realize that they were driving cattle all the way to Kansas City to the stockyards for the meat packing, and it was right here in Cowtown, right here in Cowtown.
Right in our backyard.
So that's when it changed. Yeah, and they said, oh, we can do meat packing here. So, of course, today the stockyards has got all that preserved charm from yesterday. We have brick streets out there. It's all the Old West architecture. But the major attraction is the livestock. How many people know You can walk to the stables day and night. You can look at longhorns, horses, reindeer. They've got, you know, just everything in the world that you could do. And people don't realize that. It's a great place to visit. Did you know that every day, twice a day, they have a cattle drive right down the dadgum Main Street?
Do they really?
They have the steers, longhorns, are driven right down through like they're going to Kansas City. I'm telling you.
Wow.
And can you imagine tourists coming from out of town and here comes these dadgum cattle right down.
I'd love to see the
right
look on their
the
face.
Street. I mean, you know, they're driving them down the street and they do it twice a day. That's what's so funny.
Oh, wow.
But that's one of the best things to do. And then, people line the streets. I mean, it's funny. They line the streets to watch the longhorns. And, you know, I can just see somebody from out of town, from some other state, said, I'm telling you, there was cattle were coming right down the street.
I'd love to see the look on their face the first time they see that.
Well, and I hadn't told you this, but some people from Paris, France, asked me about all this the other day. That's why I went ahead and got to thinking about it. And I told him, I said, well, you go to Fort Worth and you go to Cowtown here and you go to Sundance Square. Can you imagine them coming over there and seeing these cats coming down the street?
I'm sure they don't see anything like that in Paris.
I know. I don't think in Paris you would see this. And then you've got the Cowtown Cattle Pen Maze, and you can go all through this maze. It's 5,400 square feet. And there's an observation deck. You can watch all this and watch somebody get lost down there in that maze, which is a fun deal. They've just got so many things. And then, since it's, you know, you can spend hours there. You can get a guided tour. And there's one of the oldest steakhouses in Texas is down there in the stockyards.
Really?
It's about 100 years old, too.
Ooh, really? Nice.
Yes. So you can go and have a steak. I love going to the old hotel there. And then, of course, your boots. This is the big thing.
Oh.
You know, you can go to Maverick, which is where you get old gringo boots, which is my favorite boot in the world. Or you can go to Letty's. Now, Letty's has men and women's. But when you go down there, there's so many things to see. It's just amazing to me. And, you know, when it started out, the first people that started Sundance Square went broke.
Really?
Years and years ago. The idea was there, but they just didn't have the wherewithal to hold out long enough for it to become profitable. And then when it was bought out, of course, they made an instant success of it. But you've got the Coliseum down there, the Livestock Exchange Building, all these things that you can see. And then you've got the railroad. They've got this little railroad that's built in stockyards to transport cattle. And now that's a tourist deal. You can take the little railroad around and ride it.
Cool.
Everything down there is just so dadgum cool. And, you know, they built the new Dickey Stadium, which seats, I think, 50,000. And you got Billy Bob's, you know, the biggest honky-tonk in Texas.
Yes.
Yes, and people go there, they have name entertainment. They have some of the biggest names in country music at Billy Bob's.
I hadn't been there in a long time. It's been years.
Yeah, and it's a great place to, you know, to hang out. And you can take your family. It's a family deal. They call it a honky-tonk, but it's just good country music.
Yeah.
It's good for everybody to do that. But there's so many things to see. But Risky Steakhouse started in 1927.
Jeez. The steakhouse
is the oldest restaurant in Fort Worth.
We should point out the steakhouse has been there for 100 years. The steak has not.
So. No, the steak hadn't been there that long. But now they've got so many restaurants down there. Of course, the largest dance hall in Texas is Billy Bob's. But there's just so much to see at the stockyards. You can go and spend a day. And now they've got some new hotels down there. They say they're pretty fancy.
Really?
And one of them, everything in it is leather.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah. You can ride the mechanical bull. That'd be good for everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that's a fun deal. But shopping for cowboy boots, Stetson hats, that's all Texas.
It's literally our way of life.
It is. You can ride the stagecoach. I mean, this takes you back to what Texas really is.
Yeah.
You know? It takes you back a long way. And everybody should go down there. They should spend some time. Spend some time in Fort Worth. Fort Worth is different than Dallas or any sophisticated place. You won't feel like it's real sophisticated going down to Sundance Square.
Yeah.
It's just all Texan. But I thought I'd remind us of all the good things about the cattle drive they used to have. The Chisholm Trail went right through Fort Worth, Texas.
You know, the whole thing it really does personify the heart and soul of Texas. If you really,
it really does.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hadn't changed a lot. In other words, it's taking you back to where we started. It reminds us how we got here and what Texas is all about.
Mm, yeah.
It's not a sophisticated place.
No, it's just a good place with values and family-friendly places and things to do. And we hold on to the traditions that made us what we are. So, I mean, you can't.
And there's still a lot of horses in Texas.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of cattle. A lot of boots and a lot of pickups.
Which is how it should be.
That's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get too city-fied.
No.
Where they forget what Texas is all about.
No.
We have more ranch land. We still have thousands and thousands of acres of ranch land.
We do.
You know, there's two big ranches for sale up by Dallas. One's got 5,400 acres.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. Can you imagine how many cowboys it took to run these ranches, when you think about it?
Yeah. Wow.
Now, I'll bet something else I'll bet you don't know. Do you know why they hired singing cowboys?
No.
It quiets the herds. And so they always made sure they had several cowboys that could sing. They preferred them because they would go out on the range at night with these cattle. If they got restless, when they start singing, it quiets them down.
I had no idea. That's neat.
Yes.
Wow.
It quiets the cattle down by people singing. I would not have believed that.
I wouldn't have even guessed. Wow.
Yeah. So that, and I always wondered why, even in the movies, they would show the cowboys on the horse with a guitar lots of times singing.
Yeah.
Well, they had researched it. They knew that.
Huh. I didn't know it had an actual practical purpose. I thought it was just something cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you thought it was just part of the movies, didn't you?
Yeah.
And it's not. Wow. It was a fact, and they looked it up, obviously, and knew that they would hire singing cowboys to keep the cattle quieting down where they wouldn't stampede.
Wow. Neat.
Isn't that neat?
That is really, really cool. All kinds of knowledge.
And I'll tell you one other thing. Dale Robertson, who I love to watch in the movies, especially Tales of Wells Fargo, did you know he used his own horse in all that series?
Did he really?
He used his own horse, yes.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, he was from Yukon, Oklahoma, and his ranch had 239 horses on it.
Good Lord. Wow.
Yeah, and they said he was one of the best riders in Hollywood.
Jeez. I did not know.
Because he was truly a rancher and a horseman. He really was.
Nice. That's cool. That's really cool.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
He used his own horse all the time.
It's authentic. So we know.
And that's what I'm saying. He was authentic. Like a lot of the guys that performed were actual ranchers. And some of them sold the ranches, but a lot of them kept them. And so they would go back to their ranches when they weren't filming, which made them a lot more down-to-earth person than just the Hollywood stars.
Yeah. It wasn't fake. It was real. So
it was real.
Nice.
And he was good at roping. He was good at all types of horsemanship. And he raised all these famous horses.
Cool. Nice. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.
All right, and we are out of time, so We ran a little bit late. Do you want to run down in about 10 seconds the two main risks with a life settlement before we go?
Yes. Your main risk is it could go over. If it goes over, you have to pay premiums. It shouldn't be a lot, but that is a risk. The other risk is it is not liquid until the end. The other thing is you must be accredited to do this. You must make either $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your home. And the minimum investment on that's $100,000.
All right.
Did you get it all?
I think so. It was the fastest we've ever done it, but I think we got it.
I know. I was doing it real fast. Going fast.
All right. So for people to call, make an appointment, come see you, get information, get started. One last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.